Yes, sir, we promised you a great man.
Oh, Nick Andre!
The WrestleMania!
WrestleMania is running wild!
My God, what?
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the 2017 Meiji Awards. I am your host, Peter Rosenberg, and I join you from, of course, the prestigious Lido's Pizzeria in Durwood, Maryland. Stat Guy Greg joins you from New York, New York, Harlem, USA, the home of Uptown Malcolm. How are you, Stat Guy Greg? And please turn your headphones down just a touch.
I am doing wonderful. It's great to be here with you at the third annual Meiji Awards.
Yes, I'm honored to be here, and I'm very excited. We, you know, we're going to spend most of today just breaking down these categories and talking about the year that was. Because let's be honest, a pug week in the world of pro wrestling.
Definitely.
However, we'll start off with some quick news. Dean Ambrose out 9 months, SGG.
Yeah.
Not good news for the Shield.
Not at all. I mean, WWE does exaggerate these things, so he could be back really soon. Who knows? But, right now, they're saying 9 months. Definitely not in time for, the Rumble, but maybe Mania if they're lying to us. But if not Mania, yeah, then.
If they're lying to us, then you get a January, February, March. I mean, then if it's 3 months, then he can make a return at Mania. But I mean, who knows? And like I said, what I was rooting for was that Shield triple threat. That was what I thought was the money this year. So I find that disappointing. Although I will say, I think the potential for Seth Rollins, Jason Jordan could be great for Jason Jordan. Do you agree?
I do agree. And that's one of the few highlights from the week is, Jason Jordan surprisingly winning the Raw Tag Team Championship. Making a little bit of history in the Progress, too. Only man to win the NXT SmackDown and Raw Tag Team Championships.
He's the only one?
He is the only one to be NXT Tag Team Champion.
Oh, all three.
Raw Tag Team Champion.
Yes.
And now SmackDown Tag Team Champion.
So that's big news. Thank you very much. I was just served a delicious looking. If any of you are from the DC area and you know about Lido's Pizza, it is just one. I shouldn't be having a slice of Lido's Pizza, you know. But it's 11:15 a.m.
at this hour.
However,
you can, but not.
But it's the Meiji's. It's the Meiji's. Well, actually, the truth is, I'm getting my car service next door, and I don't want to sit inside a tiny gas station. So I decided to come to Lido's. And while I'm here, I'm going to give, you know, be a patron, order some food. I may have a slice. I'm going to bring it back to the house. But anyways, I digress. Shout out to Lido's for the delight. If you're ever in the DC area, I could not recommend it more strongly. It is a true DC treat, and it is not New York pizza. If you're wondering, it is square, small slices. Right now I'm looking.
What is it tasty though?
Oh my gosh. It's incredible. And I'm looking at each little square piece has an individual pepperoni, and within each pepperoni is just a little pool of grease that you could see a reflection in.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, it's a beautiful thing. This is how people become physically large.
It is. And as a born and raised New Yorker, I used to be a pizza elitist. I still am in some ways, but I've come to realize that, other towns, you know,
have different pizza.
Different pizza that is also good pizza.
Exactly. This is one thing people don't, a lot of New Yorkers don't like struggle with. There's New York pizza. And
which is
New
the
York
elite. It's the top of the tops to me.
For you, that's great. You're allowed to have your preference. For me, it's just one kind of pizza I like. I love deep dish.
I love deep dish as well. Yep.
I love pizza like this little square pizza. That's freaking amazing. I love a variety of kinds. New Yorkers get this thing on their head where it's just all, it's New York pizza or bust. And like, no, if you're looking for New York pizza, it's New York pizza or bust. But it's not the only pizza. You know what, Greg? That reminds me of something. I want to take a moment here to remind people a little preview of what you're going to get in 2018. I'm not taking it this year, Greg. You know, I am here for those who are with a life, you know, for people who, have things in their life that they enjoy. We've talked about this before, Greg. Maybe you have a family. Maybe you have a girlfriend, a boyfriend, a son, a job, something to do in your life besides attacking people simply because they're different than you. Okay. If that is who you are, if you're someone who spends your life attacking people because you're a fanboy of something, it's always the fanboys, SGG. It's always the fanboys who are not with a life, whether it's the wrestling fanboys who have nothing else, so they're angry at me because I don't talk about the Young Bucks enough, or whether it's the Mike Francesa fanboys who say, how could I have the audacity to say the things that I say? How could you ever? The man is a legend. The man's show was terrible for the last decade. The man was falling asleep on the air. Does that not make him an icon? Of course he's an icon. He's a legend. He's the first to ever do what he did. You know how I know that? Because WFAN was started by MS Communications, my company that owns Hot 97. They started WFAN. That's the only reason there is a Mike Francesa. Because Jeff Simoulian, who has been paying me for over the last decade to do mornings in New York City, started that company. Watch the 30 for 30. Watch the interviews with Jeff Simoulian. That's why the company exists. Mike Francesa didn't create the fan. Jeff Simoulian created the fan. And Mike Francesa was lucky enough to sit next to Chris Mad Dog Russo and do something very special. Now, congratulations. Have a great career. I don't care that you fall asleep on the air and are a Make America Great Again guy.
His listeners don't either, apparently.
Do whatever you like. I'm not trying to take that away from you. However, if you guys think for one second I'm going to suckle at the teat because I've only been in sports talk radio for 2 years and he's been there for 30, let me tell you something. You got another thing coming, brother. And listen, I'm not done, Greg. I don't care if he's retired. Maybe I'll show up at his house and throw a pie in his face. I don't know what I'm going to do. But the more people egg me on, the more people attack me and think that I should sort of just cater and bow down in greatness. And let's be honest, Greg. Can I say the truth? This last 2 weeks, I've gotten a ton of comments from people who hate me or Mike Francesa fans. I have a question. Do you think one of those people was a woman?
No.
That's correct. Do you think one of those people wasn't white?
No, I'm almost positive they're all white males.
That is the only group.
Age diversity though, old men, young men, they're all coming at you, but.
That is the only white group, Greg. That is the only group. It was like being attacked by a MAGA rally. Okay. That's what it was. So. If people think that in 2018 I'm going to slow down, listen, I may slow down going after Francesa. I mean, the man's retired, for God's sake. But I like it. I enjoy it. It makes my Lido's pizza taste better when I'm getting comments like this. Everything in my life. Greg, I have a new thing. I go to the gym, and when I walk in the gym and start working out, I just send out a couple of tweets to make the hashtag without a lifers get angry. And I got to tell you guys,
That's good fuel right there.
Oh, the
cuz I know the
incredible.
Hate starts pouring in.
Oh yeah. And I'm working. They're hating and I'm working. Now let me enjoy this piece of pepperoni. Oh my God. What a delightful piece of pepperoni. As a matter of fact, ladies and gentlemen here at the Majors, our waiter is about to come out and serve all of you a Lido's pizza, courtesy of Lido's. Awesome. Fantastic. Thank you, man. What's your name? Jack, thank you very much. Jack the waiter, ladies and gentlemen. Jack the waiter is going to come deliver everyone right now.
Don't Jack the waiter.
No, don't Jack the waiter. Look out for Jack the waiter.
Oh.
SGD. Anyways, everyone has on Twitter at Rosenberg Radio. If you want to go to war against the hashtag without a lifers, please feel free to join in. I got to tell you, it's a great time. It'll whiten your teeth. You'll feel amazing every day fighting with these people. All right. I mean, The Big Lead, a supposedly reputable outlet, wrote an entire article dedicated to saying that I'm begging for attention and that I'll never be as popular as Mike Francesa. Greg.
Yeah, I read that article. It read completely silly to me, like the whole thing.
Can you believe they printed that? I couldn't believe they let someone print that. Like it was such a ridiculous, like, smear job for no reason. It was absurd. It was just, again, you know who it was? It was a without a life fanboy. Let me get the guy's name. I gotta find this guy's name. Let's give him credit where credit's due. Okay? Because Ryan specifically, something. It was Ryan something. Let's find it, because this guy, to take the time that he did to try to just rail me, pause, was, I was almost amazed by it. And in fact, it was such, you would think The Big Lead, which fancies itself to be a sports outlet, would at some point have said something about my, you know, doing mornings and afternoons in the Save Market, you know, helping take the K show to the highest ratings it's ever had. No, that doesn't get that. Instead,
yeah.
the article you get, ladies and gentlemen, this is what's written about in a supposedly reputable website, is Peter Rosenberg keeps lashing out for attention. Mike Francesa will always be more popular in New York. That's not a real headline, guys.
And it's not accurate. It's not accurate because Peter Rosenberg is already more popular than Mike Francesa. I hate to break it to anybody who didn't realize this, but just by the fact that you are able to be seen by so many more audiences, mm-hmm. and you are seen by more audiences, it makes you more popular, like, from the jump. It's debatable, but he may have the sports talk category. That's fine. But then there are other categories where he's putting up goose eggs and your name is near the top, like, of highly respected people. So he can never be more popular than you. He can never be more popular than you.
It's a great point. And I love that, you know, all the haters out here. Here's the fact. I'm a legend. Francesa is a portly, bloviating, self-important, self-anointed media legend. He anointed himself and everyone else just followed in line. But here's the bottom line. Ryan Glasspiegel, first of all, your name is stupid. Second of all, your article was so bad that I couldn't finish it, and it's about me. You guys know, the Cheap Heat audience, those with a life know, Peter Rosenberg loves himself some Peter Rosenberg. All right, I'm not going to sit here and lie. We know. Of course I was going to read the article. I go to read the article. I only made it 4 paragraphs in. It was too boring. It was too poorly written. And it's about me. But anyways, thank you to The Big Lead. Thank you. Hopefully they write an article about Cheap Heat and how this podcast is major. Now, moving right back to the week that was, SGG, before we give out the Magies, which everyone's very excited about, last week we did not even talk about the biggest debut that happened on Monday Night Raw. Did you realize that after the show?
The biggest debut?
Yeah. There was a debut last week on Monday Night Raw.
Are you talking about the Revival's return?
No.
Then I have no idea who you're... Hideo Itami.
Oh, Hideo Itami.
Hideo Itami. We did not talk about Hideo Itami.
And Hideo Itami not only appearing on Raw, but somehow appearing on Raw and actually being more over than he had been in quite some time on NXT.
Well, the problem with Hideo Itami on NXT is, you know, his push had been stopped and started and due to injury. So, like, he was in NXT way longer than he ever had any business being in NXT. He was the first big signee that they made, before Balor, before Owens. He was the first one that they made a real big deal about. I believe they sent Hulk Hogan over to Japan to announce that they were signing Hideo Itami. That's how big of a deal he was. And then, the injury bug kept him off of TV, you know, at the height of his powers, and he's just getting some momentum back. So it's finally good to see him on the main roster.
Yeah, I'm very happy for him, because, you know, I'd seen him recently. He obviously does amazing work. One of the main things people love about Itami is how brutal he looks stylistically, right?
Right.
Everything looks incredibly stiff and painful, and that's sort of part of the deal. And I had come to really enjoy him. But yeah, to your point, Greg, just like, I don't know what it was. It was, first of all, the injury bug slowed him down tremendously. But then even upon his return, he had some good moments And in a pay-per-view we'll talk about in the Magies, NXT Chicago, he had that match that I really thought it was what him and Bobby Roode?
Yes, for the NXT Championship.
Great match. And I just always thought he was going to end up being a little bit more over in that situation than he was. But I'm happy for him to see him now. He elevates the cruiserweight division. He has the chance to make the cruiserweights more meaningful on Raw. So in what has been a terrible time for Raw, he remains a sliver of good news. Now, SGG, do you want to do Black Power rankings this week before the Magies?
Yeah, I figured I was going to do a Black Power rankings best of 2017 to close out the year.
Well, in that case, we'll save it for the Magies.
All right. But before we get off of Itami, though, you mentioned like his style, looking a little bit more snug, more stiff and more realistic than some of the other wrestlers on the roster. And, it looks that way, I guess, because it is, considering he injured Brian Kendrick, on Raw with the GTS. He fractured his orbital bone and fractured his nasal bridge.
Ooh, with goodness the GTS. Gracious. I did not know that.
So Itami doesn't just look tough, ladies and gentlemen. He will break your face.
Mm. I hope everyone's enjoying their Lido's pizza. By the way, I wish they were actually a sponsor of the show, because I really am talking about them a lot, and it is so delicious. Also, shout out to Paige, who was injured last night at the house show on Long Island. And I'm hearing she's fine, but she was temporarily, I think, knocked out for a second or something like that. And they had to stop a match yesterday. All right, SGG, no more time to waste. It's time for the third annual Magies.
Third annual
Magies. Yes, and welcome back to the Magies. I'm your host, Peter Rosenberg, live from Durwood, Maryland, the home of my in-laws. And Stack Guy Greg coming to us from the home of Uptown Malcolm. That's right, Harlem, Uptown, USA. And we start out with a category that means a lot. First of all, you guys all had the chance to vote. All you had to do was vote on Greg's at StatGuyGreg Twitter account. And Greg, tell us the process. How did these nominees come to be?
So I sent out a tweet on Friday, and I unveiled the categories, the official categories, and I allowed people to give nominations, and I made it clear you can nominate as many people or matches or storylines or news events as you want for as many of the categories as you want. And people just went crazy with the nominations. And what I did was I went through all the responses to that post, and I tallied up, you know, who got the most nominations here, there for this category. And that's why, certain things got left out that people feel like should have been there. And certain things, made it that make people scratch their heads. But, they were suggested by multiple people. And that's how they ended up as official Magies nominees.
Thank you, Greg. Thank you for taking us through the process. It's very important. And we start now with the nominees and winners for Repug News Stories from Outside the Ring. The nominees are The Return of the XFL, Rich Swann's Legal Woes, The Young Bucks vs. WWE, and the final nominee, anything related to TNA / Impact. The envelope, please. Oh, thank you. Candace Michelle just handed me the envelope. And the winner for most Repug news story from Outside the Ring is anything TNA / Impact related with 39% of the vote. Now, SGG, it should be said, the other storylines were neck and neck. 20% for Young Bucks, 21% for Rich Swann, 20% for Return of the XFL, but 39% for anything TNA and Impact related. And that has 835 votes. Let me just say, I couldn't agree more with this voting. I got to a point where there's just so often a stupid story about TNA and Impact. It's just so regular that it's gotten truly, truly repug. And I'm happy to see that this is the result.
Yeah, they had a really bad year from the constant transferring of ownerships to the return and exit of Jeff Jarrett, to them trying to hold the broken Matt Hardy gimmick hostage, the name changes, everything was just, it was just like no good news coming out of TNA.
Now, Greg, on the flip side of that coin, there is, of course, the nominees for Mage News Story from Outside the Ring. And the nominees are the return of the XFL. Linda McMahon going to Washington, D.C. Chris Jericho's vaunted appearance with New Japan Pro Wrestling. And Ric Flair cheating death. Kelly, the envelope, please. Thank you. The winner, of course, is Ric Flair cheating death, 52%, edging out Chris Jericho heading to NJPW with 43%. But Greg, there was no story that made us happier than Ric Flair kicking out.
No, not at all. I mean, when his health scare happened, you saw his impact, not just in wrestling circles, but in pop culture. Everybody came out to show support and wish him well, and everybody was rooting for him. And then he kicked out just in time to be out and about, you know, for his 30 for 30 premiere, where he got to introduce himself to potentially even newer audiences. And now he's very beloved, and that was the big story for the whole second half of the year, is just Ric Flair cheating death and coming back when kicking out at two, as you like to say.
It was incredible. It was an incredible story. It just didn't look like it was going to go that way. And the fact that we got it, and I mean, imagine how depressing the 30 for 30 would have been had he just died. Imagine how awful. And I could picture it. It was so close. You could taste it. And yet at the it was one of those counts where the ref really looks like they were going to mess up and count three. And at like the absolute last second, they kicked out. It wasn't one of those Hebner counts where like you knew he was never counting three in the first place. And when he hits three, it's like he rolls over because like he was never going to do it in the first place. No, this was a real, legit, shocking kick out. It was like two F5s. It's over. And Flair kicked out. So it has to be the Mage storyline outside the ring of the year.
It has to be. The interesting thing, though, was the XFL. I guess people were so split about it that it got nominated for Mage News Story and Repug News Story.
Which I totally understand, because I think it's both myself. I think it's Mage and Repug, because I don't fully understand it business-wise. And at the same time, while I don't understand it from a business standpoint, it excites me just because it puts WWE in the news. And it would be cool to see them try, even if I think it would be an uphill battle.
Yeah, he's going to try. We'll see what happens with that in 2018. Maybe it'll be locked into one category in particular in next year's Majors. We'll, who knows?
All right, ladies and gentlemen, as the Majors continue on, sponsored by Lido's Pizza. Pro Wrestling Tees. Just kidding. They've never even advertised with us. The Cheap Heat Podcast. CompuServe. And xvideos.com. All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's continue on to the next category of another very exciting one. This is one that a lot of controversy, a lot of chatter. Of course, it's the nominees for Repug Storyline / Gimmick of the Cench 2017. And they are Enzo and Cass splitting up, the House of Horrors fiasco, Jinder Mahal as WWE champion, and it should have been number one to me, the welcoming committee. Oof. Oh, that was bad. Oh, the welcoming committee was so bad. All right. What was the name of the diva who used to run around with JBL again? The blonde chick with the mole that they put on her?
Oh, Jillian Hall.
And Jillian Hall, the envelope, please. The winner for most repug storyline slash gimmick of the Cench 2017 is the House of Horrors match. Oh, what a moment, SGG. People just absolutely panned this match from beginning to end, from the idea of it coming up to the way it played out with an arena confused about what was going on. The House of Horrors match defined Repug. Now, I think the welcoming committee is worse because it was a more long, drawn out, nonsensical storyline. But yeah, you gotta respect House of Horrors because it certainly was Repug.
House of Horrors was like another level of Repug. I mean, I personally, if I could have voted, I would have went with the Enzo and Cass split, but, cause that was just contrived and weird and
never good. Payoff, never had a payoff.
Yeah, the payoff fell really flat. But this House of Horrors, like we both said, it was just another level of Repug that we hadn't seen before. And, we might see it again considering the feud that he's locked into right now, but that was bad.
Hold on, Greg.
Are you having a word with our sponsors?
Come on, Greg. I'm having a serious word with one of our sponsors. Lito's Pepperoni Pizza. I gotta tell you. I can do a commercial for them right now. Little. Square. Delicious. Mage. Lito's Pizza. Someone tell Lito's Pizza they should be a sponsor.
Aren't you there? Can't you tell them?
It's a chain. I don't think the people at this location will have any control over that, unfortunately. All right. Let's keep going on the Magies 2017. Let's move right along to, ooh, this is big, Greg. I believe this would be, Tag Team of the Year.
Yes.
Did I read this wrong? Or are there only three nominated?
There are only three. There were the three nominated. And this is one of those categories that, caused a little bit of controversy after the polls went up because people were saying, you know, where's Seth and Dean? And, the natural response to that is, you know, when I requested nominees, Seth and Dean, didn't get nominated. So to the person who asked, where's Seth and Dean, should have nominated the man, should have thrown him in the hat, but they didn't end up here. So
honestly, I don't think it matters because when push comes to shove, the winner is correct. And that is the nominees are The New Day, The Bar, and The Usos. Charmel, the envelope, please. The winner, of course, ladies and gentlemen, by a landslide, 79%, The Usos. There was never a question at all, Greg. The best year of their career. I will always call 2017 their Hall of Fame. Yes, this is the year that put The Usos in the Hall of Fame from beginning to the end. From in-ring to promos to style to feuds, everything the Usos did was gold.
Yeah.
I don't care. You can bring up the Young Bucks. You can bring up people all around the world. I don't think anyone did it bigger or better than the Usos this year.
No, and it's absolutely right. There's no tag team on the planet that had a better year than the Usos. Some came close. But no tag team had a better year. And calling it their Hall of Fame year is, you know, I definitely can co-sign that as well. Because, I mean, let's be honest. They were going to go into the Hall of Fame before, no matter what. But this was the year that made the difference between them going in the Hall of Fame and us questioning whether they deserve to be in the Hall of Fame and them going in the Hall of Fame and us being like, what took you so long? Like,
that is perfectly said. They would have gone in just because of their lineage, because of how long they'd been around, because they'd always been good, reliable hands, but they wouldn't have gone in because they were ever truly over. I mean, they were over as baby faces for a little bit at the beginning, but for the most part, they just hung out and hovered in like aimless baby face territory. And this year they have just been absolutely mage. Congratulations to the well-deserved winners of this category, the Usos. All right, SUG, we get down to the big four, the final four categories. Very big stuff here. Right. We start with the nominees for Match of the Cinch 2017. The nominees are the Universal Title Four-Way from SummerSlam, the Usos versus the New Day from Hell in a Cell, Okada Omega 1, Dunn Bate 2. All right. Oh, it's Kelly Kelly again. Thank you. The winner is Okada Omega 1. And what this really is a win for all the super nerds who listen to our podcast, who basically were going to pick New Japan whenever they had the option. And why not take it? Why not take it for one that is, at least without a doubt deserving? You say SGG?
Yeah, definitely. This match set the bar, really high for the year in professional wrestling. It was the first big match of the year, at Wrestle Kingdom 11, January 4th. And it was, I didn't watch it live. I watched it a few days later, but I saw a lot of hype about it, and the hype was very much well deserved. And then both of these men went on to have a great year. You know, there were other great matches, but again, they set the bar, really high to start out the year. I have other favorites, but this is also a good win. I don't think any of the matches, that were nominated, were bad matches or matches that I don't think could have been a winner. They could have all easily been winners here.
Surprised AJ and Cena didn't make the final four from the Rumble.
Another great match. And, almost some people were saying WWE's rebuttal to this match, Okada Omega.
All right, on to the next category, which I'm just reading for the first time. The nominees for Show of the Cinch 2017 are Wrestle Kingdom 11, NXT TakeOver War Games, NXT TakeOver Chicago, and Bring It to the Table. Wow. I'm so honored and flattered that this happened. This is a moment I didn't expect. Gail Kim, thank you very much. The winner is, by a very small margin, 29% to 26%, 23%, and 22%. The winner is NXT TakeOver Chicago. Oh, this is going to have Bring It to the Table fans just hot. Only 23% for Bring It to the Table. But NXT TakeOver Chicago, very, very solid show. I don't know if I have it as my card of the year.
I don't know if I have it as my card of the year either. But it was a strong card though. Two of the best matches, this year were at NXT Chicago, TakeOver Chicago. So I can see it. I can see why it's there based on, the Dunn Bate 2 that happened at that pay-per-view, and also, the tag team match with, DIY, versus.
Yeah, that was awesome. That was an awesome finish too. I'll tell you what. I think if Survivor Series finishes better, it's in the conversation. But people just did not like the final match.
Yeah, definitely. Cause top to bottom, that was a great card too. And that was the thing too with these nominations. A lot of these main roster cards got one nomination and that was it. So like somebody did mention SummerSlam, but then nobody else seconded the nomination, so to speak. And same thing with Survivor Series. It did get a lone nomination, but, these other shows were just a little bit more popular when seeking nominations.
Well, in this category, so that's how they ended up there. NXT TakeOver Chicago, this category with over 1,000 votes. Of course, this whole thing would have been probably gotten more votes had I remember to retweet any of this. Okay. Moving right along. That is your, Show of the Cinch. And now we had SGG to the big two categories. Am I right? These are the money categories.
This is what everybody's waiting for.
This is what the people wanted to know about. This is what people are talking about. All the websites, all the, you know, all the indie shows, WrestleCon, all the, you know, every basement where there's a virgin watching the WWE Network for 20 hours straight. This is what they were wanted to know about. We start with the nominees for Mage Female Performer 2017. The nominees are Asuka, Charlotte, and Alexa Bliss. And now, oh, this is nice. Val Venus is presenting this one. Thank you. And now, the winner for the Lido's Pizza Mage Female Performer 2017 is my Jewish sister. Yes. Alexa Bliss. 48% for the Shul member, Alexa Bliss. Oh, what a moment. 48%. Asuka 39. Only 13% for Charlotte. Charlotte had a rough year. It picked up towards the end of the year, but for a lot of the year, she hovered in, you know, SmackDown, you know, mid-card anonymity. So I'm not surprised that she doesn't end up any closer. I don't think there was much of a conversation for this, do you? I mean, by and large, when it comes to, you know, storylines that mattered, she had a handful of really great matches. You know, I'm sure there are people who worked better matches this year in other places. Frankly, it wasn't Asuka. Asuka had a couple of great NXT matches, but really just spent her time dominating, and the big news was just her coming to the Raw roster.
I disagree a little bit. To me, this is a little bit of an upset because, Asuka had that great last woman standing match with Nikki Cross on NXT TV. And she had, a great couple of matches with Ember Moon, particularly the one at NXT TakeOver Brooklyn. And those multi-women matches that she had too, they were all really good. But again, between the two of those, like you said, you're choosing between two champions, two women who had great years. Alexa Bliss did have better storylines, and she did have a bigger audience being on Monday Night Raw and dominating, holding that championship for most of the year. So I can see her edging out Asuka, but me personally, I would have picked Asuka as my winner here.
Listen, I hear you. She did have great takeover matches. And the Nikki Cross, you know, she had good stuff for sure. I just think for the level of impact that Alexa Bliss had this year, and let's be honest, I'm totally biased. So I will go with Alexis Kaufman, aka Alexa Bliss, 48%. And now, ladies and gentlemen, the nominees for Lido's Pizza Mage Male Performer 2017 are Roman Reigns, AJ Styles, Kazuchika Okada, and Braun Strowman. All right, who's bringing me the envelope this time? Stacey Keebler, thank you. That's how you know it's big, when Keebler comes out.
Yeah.
She never shows up anymore.
Not at all.
Thank you, Stacey. And the winner is AJ Styles. I don't think there was anyone else to pick here either. I did not watch enough Okada. Hey, Jack, you mind boxing this up for me? And grab me the check? Thank you. First of all, I didn't watch enough Okada. Let's start there. That's just being honest. Roman is Roman, but his year wasn't, you know, obscene. He had some great matches, and he did what he does. He makes people look great. Strowman, of course, really burst on the scene in a big way this year. You could have an argument for him. But when it comes to just consistently, when it comes to just consistently having great matches, I think you got to give it to AJ Styles. I think the Cheap Heat listeners, those hashtag with a life, got this right. What do you think, SGG?
Yeah, I mean, everybody knows how much I love the big dog, but I would have to agree here. Like we said earlier when we were talking about Match of the Cinch, AJ and Cena at the Royal Rumble, he set the bar pretty high for himself this year and the match performances that he was gonna give us. And he he kept it up. I mean, him and Finn at TLC, him with Brock, even him with Shane McMahon at WrestleMania were all, top level performances. Not to mention he's starting and ending the year as a WWE champion with a United States championship thrown in between. So, I mean, it's tough to find anybody who had a better year, than AJ Styles.
I couldn't agree with you more. Oh, we have a very smart audience, SUG, if I do say so myself. That'll do it for your 2017 Magies. Next year, I'll do a better job spreading the word of the nomination so more people can weigh in. But I got to tell you, I don't know how different this would have been. I mean, that's the thing about polling, right? It's a small group, but it really is ultimately what most people would have felt. So when you see NXT TakeOver Chicago, Okada Omega, House of Horrors, anything TNA, Ric Flair cheating death, The Usos, Alexa Bliss, and AJ Styles, I really think we got the real answers here at the Magies. But you know what? Stack Guy, right? The Magies are not quite over yet because we have the end of the year special edition Magie. Excuse me. I'm sorry. I just burped from the Lido's pizza. Magie edition Black Power Rankings.
Bring it on, SCG. All right, so definitely got to start with a couple of honorable mentions. Cedric Alexander, Titus O'Neil, and the whole Titus Worldwide, and Street Profits all had a really good year. It was really fun to watch them grow, especially the Street Profits. So I think they're poised to have a great 2018, but they didn't do enough to crack the special edition top five Black Power rankings for 2017. And in at number five, speaking of someone that we've watched develop and grow and progress and has been fun to watch do so, I gotta give it to Velveteen Dream, man. I still am impressed with his Aleister Black match at TakeOver, and I'm still excited to see where he goes. So he's coming in at number five. In at number four is Shelton Benjamin, who made his return, and he's teamed up with Chad Gable, and they've just been on fire. He's still got it. I'm looking for him to add another tag team title to his record. But for now, he's racked up some great matches since being back, including a win over the current tag team champion. So, he comes in at number four. In at number three is Naomi, who, you know, the second half of the year hasn't been that kind to her, but she had a great first half of the year. We're not going to forget about the two women's championships, the big win at WrestleMania, and her carrying the title through to SummerSlam without really faltering and having anybody lose interest in her as champion in the women's division on SmackDown. So she's coming in at number three for holding it down for the first half of 2017. In at number two, Jason Jordan, who started the year in a great tag team, former tag team champion, like I said, made history this past Monday as the first man to hold the NXT tag team titles, Raw tag team titles, and the SmackDown tag team titles. And he looks like he's ready to have a good 2018. He had a great 2017. This storyline as Kurt Angle's son is really paying off. And in at number one, nobody who made the Black Power rankings has had a better 2017, clearly, than the New Day. There was no other choice for the Black Power Rankings Best of 2017, hosting WrestleMania and then feuding with the Usos, the rap battle, the matches, the Hell in a Cell. Nobody better than the New Day to top this year's, definitive Black Power Rankings for 2017.
Wow. Very, very interesting and compelling points you're making there, SGG. And I will tell you, would you go as far as saying, is that if Jason Jordan doesn't make it to number one next year, it's a disappointment because the setup's right here on the table. The table's all set for him.
Yeah, it would be really disappointing because, like you said, everything is ready. The pieces are there now. They just have to do a good job of teasing it out just enough and then striking at the exact right moment to make everybody care and be fully invested in Jason Jordan. And I tell you, I think that's coming because when he got the pin, that Chicago crowd erupted. There were a lot of cheers for him. And I don't know if they were just excited to see a title change or if they were coming around on Jason Jordan or what, but the optics for that win was perfect.
I couldn't agree with you more. And I'm excited. I'm excited to see more than anything, Greg, I'm just excited to see what the Black Power rankings looks like next year. I mean, is that what everyone's talking about?
Yeah, it's a lot of chatter about the Black Power rankings.
Oh, tons. By the way, I want to give a quick shout. I made the mistake while Greg was talking there of going on Twitter. And this is why I will be full heel for all of 2018. I put up a post earlier. I put up a tweet earlier showing a picture of J-Lo and Kim Kardashian. Did you see this by any chance?
I did not.
I thought it was pretty funny. I said, how has J-Lo looked the same for 20 years? And I wouldn't recognize Kim Kardashian if I'd seen her last week. And people are jumping me now as if to say I'm not the like feminist and women's person that I am because I said that. Like, how dare I throw and I'm like, wait, all I'm saying is the woman changes her look nonstop. Well, I don't understand. What are you talking about? That's not offensive. You see, this is the problem. This is why people, and this is what frustrates me. I am a PC guy. I believe in being PC. I believe being PC is often being, you know, socially responsible and not being nasty and things like that. But this is why people hate PC people. This is why people think they go too far because you're allowed to make a joke. I literally made that joke because when I saw the picture, I went, oh, that's J-Lo. Who is she with? I did not know it was Kim Kardashian. That's why.
Yeah, it doesn't look like Kim Kardashian, but
at all. And she's a blonde now. She doesn't look any. My point is just that she changes all the time. I didn't say, look at the plastic surgery. I almost made a really David Brent joke. I'm judging you. I wasn't trying to be judgmental. It's not judgmental. She simply looks different every week. If you can't find that funny, well, I don't know what to say about you, but it's certainly not offensive. This is why I have a real problem. I have a real problem, SGG, in this world that we live in. I gotta tell you, when I look at the United States, I look at it, to me, when you look at the shape, it looks like the shape of a toilet bowl. Yeah, that's what I see, a big old toilet bowl. That's how I gotta work. Oh, hey, my mother-in-law just got here too. SGG, on that note, I have to wrap up, the Magies. We tried to get an episode in. Hopefully everyone enjoyed this. Tweet us. Let us know if you got to hear it at Rosenberg Radio, at Stack Eye Greg. Oh my God. My mother-in-law's cell phone is the loudest cell phone I've ever heard.
That is, that ringtone is retro to say.
It's retro.
That too.
SGG, until next week, do me a favor. Stay mage.
Until next year, my friend.
Until next year. Happy New Year. And we'll see everyone for a very mage 2018. And on a serious note, thank you guys all for rocking out with us for the whole year. We appreciate it big time. And make sure to stay up with us. We got a lot of haters to fend off, so we need all those with a life to band together in 2018. SGG, stay mage, my friend.
Oh, yeah.